and welcome to African Jeopardy. My name is Ethel, and I'm recording from the University of St. Andrews in Scotland. Today, we're going to be talking about the current trends in human trafficking and red flags with Professor Waziri Azi, the Director General of NACTIB Nigeria. And I'm really excited to have her with us today. But before we start, I'd like to read her brief bio. Professor Fatima Waziri Azi is a professor of law, Nigerian Institute of Advanced Legal Studies, associate member of the Chartered Institute of Arbitrators, United Kingdom, Notary Public for Nigeria, a distinguished academic, a published author, legal practitioner, and human rights activist. Prior to her appointment as Director General of the National Agency for the Prohibition of Trafficking in Persons, NACTIB, she was the Senior Special Assistant to the President on Rule of Law, Office of the Vice President. Professor Waziri Azi has a Bachelor Degree of Laws degree from the Ahmadu Bello University, Zaria, Barrister at Law degree from the Nigerian Law School, Lagos, Masters of Law degree in International Law and Human Rights from St. Thomas University School of Law, Miami, Florida, United States, a Doctor in Judicial Science degree, PhD in Law from the University of Pittsburgh School of Law, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania State, United States, and a Certificate in Public Leadership from the Harvard Kennedy School Executive Education Program, Boston, Massachusetts, U.S. Her past work experience include attorney and program officer at Human Rights Law Service, Uri Laws, and Olisa Abakoba Legal, Lagos, legal associate at the New York City Administration of Children's Services, Division of Legal Services, New York, legal fellow at Transparency International, United States, Washington, D.C., researcher at the Presidential Advisory Committee Against Corruption, PACAC. Professor Waziri Azi is the 2022 winner of the prestigious University of Pittsburgh Shared International Young Alumni Achievement Award. A prolific author, Professor Waziri Azi has authored an edited book and is widely published in reputable local and international journals. In 2016, she founded the Safe Haven Foundation, an organization dedicated to the protection of women and children. She's a member of the Nigerian Bar Association, NBA, New York County Lawyers Association, Association of Women in Development, AWID, Women in International Security, WIS, and the International Scrabble Club, ISC. Maybe you can agree with me that this is, wow, a very accomplished person, and I want to say thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to speak to us, Professor.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
Without taking much of your time, I'd like to go straight to the point by asking you to tell us a bit more about your work at NACTIB.
Okay, so National Agency for the Prohibition of Trafficking in Persons is the focal anti-human trafficking law enforcement agency in Nigeria. So it was established in 2003 by the Trafficking in Persons Prohibition Enforcement and Administration Act to tackle the scourge of trafficking in Nigeria. So NACTIB has the powers to investigate and prosecute all forms of human trafficking. So when we talk about the all forms of human trafficking, we're talking about sexual exploitation, forced labor, forced prostitution, child labor, domestic servitude, buying and selling of persons, dead bondage, slavery, and all slavery-like activities. So in terms of operational structure, we have 29 offices across Nigeria, 9 zonal commands, 12 state commands, and 8 liaison offices. And we have the HQ here in Abuja. And in terms of carrying out our work, we carry out our work based on 5-pronged approach. approaches of prevention, protection, prosecution, partnership, and policy. So, yeah.
Thank you so much for telling us a bit more about LabTIP. I'm just going to go straight on and ask you the next question, which I feel would also be useful, not just for me or our listeners, but the young Nigerians that might be wherever they are, either in Nigeria or the diaspora. And this relates to this whole idea of JAPA. Maybe you can tell us a bit more about it. But, you know, the desperation by young Nigerians to leave the country for greener pasture. The potential link to trafficking. I mean, can you tell us more about this and whether there's been a scenario where you've actually seen people falling victims to this?
Yeah, JAPA is a term that became very popular, I think, about either early last year or early last year, the JAPA syndrome. And JAPA just basically means, it's a Yoruba word. It means, you know, traveling out of Nigeria. And it's something that, you know, mostly young people have seriously embraced. You know, they have seriously embraced. And like I always tell young people when I interact with them, nobody is saying you shouldn't aspire to travel out of Nigeria. It would be hypocritical of me or any other person to say don't aspire to travel out of Nigeria. But then, if you must travel, you do it the right way. And there's something called hope. And that hope that we all have as human beings is what traffickers prey on. So traffickers prey on the desperation of people, their thirst for a better life. You know, so you want to keep up with the Joneses. You see people living a flamboyant life on either Facebook or Instagram. You don't do your research. You don't ask questions. You don't know how someone suddenly, you know, came into affluence, but you want to be like that person. So, which is why most people, especially young people, fall into the hands of traffickers. And again, I also tell young people that perception of you thinking you can only make it when you leave Nigeria has to change. You can also make it in Nigeria. You can also be successful in Nigeria. If you want to go for graduate studies or higher education abroad, that's fine, you know, but there is no free lunch anyway. Yeah. If it is free, then you are definitely the product. So because of this quest for people wanting to travel, we've seen tons and tons of cases, especially with COVID. We saw an increase in fake online advertorials, job advertorials, fake scholarships, even fake sporting contracts. We have middle-aged people trapped all over the world because somebody promised them something. They didn't ask questions. They didn't do their homework. They immediately jumped at it. And some of these cases that we handle, we also see family members who traffic other family members, whether directly or indirectly. Wow. There are cases where parents traffic their own children, brothers traffic brothers, sisters traffic sisters, uncles and aunts trafficking nephews and aunties. You know, so JAPA, you want to leave, you can leave, but please do it the right way. Because as it is, most countries, most systems are set up in a way that if you enter that country illegally, the system will lock you out. Take, for instance, the American system. If you don't have the right papers in America, you can't get a job, you can't open a bank account, you can't even go to school. And what that means is you've already set up yourself to being exploited. So even if you must work, you have to use somebody else's papers to work. And when you use somebody else's papers to work, automatically you've assumed that person's identity. If the person is an ex-con or if the person has a bad credit rating or whatever encumbrances that person has, automatically you inherit it. And even when you get paid, you now get paid into that person's account. So that person will decide to pay you whatever they want to do. So my advice to young people is, if you must japa the right way. And please, do your research. Ask questions. Let me give you an instance. Last year, a very irate father came to report to us here in NAPTIP that his daughter was trafficked to Ghana. So this was a 19-year-old girl who was in school in a private university here in Abuja. So when you look at the Nigerian context, for you to be able to pay for your child to attend a private university means at least you are somewhat comfortable. She met someone on Instagram, and the person told her, oh, you know, you're beautiful, I could get you a modeling job in Ghana. And she just disappeared. She didn't tell anyone. She just disappeared. And guess what? Of course, it wasn't a modeling job that was waiting for her. She was pushed into forced prostitution. And she was prostituting for 3 months until she was able to contact her father.
Wow.
We had to work with the Economic Organized Crime Office of Ghana to rescue her, and she was repatriated back. So the traditional way of thinking of human trafficking has evolved. In the past, it used to be poor people in rural areas, in urban poor communities that were being catfished. But now, everyone is at risk, including those who have this thirst for Japan.
Yeah. Wow. This is really, just listening to you, I can imagine how difficult it must be, especially that desperation. And I liked what you said about how people, traffickers, prey on people's hope. And I wondered, I know it's quite easy to say that women or girls are likely to be more vulnerable, but I want to hear from you as a practitioner, whether you feel in the cases that you've seen, whether in comparison to women and men or boys and girls, who is more likely to fall victim to, you know, trafficking in terms of the gender or the sexes?
So it depends on, the form of trafficking. So if you talk about sexual exploitation, definitely women and young girls are more at risk. Last year, I came across, I would say my first case of a man being trafficked for sexual exploitation. So this was, I think, a 26 or 27-year-old boy who was trafficked by a labor recruiter, promised him a job in Bahrain. So guess what? He landed in a brothel in Bahrain, where he was being used as a male prostitute. So this was a guy that, when he eventually was able to escape and came back to Nigeria, he wrote a petition to us. Yeah. So what I'm sharing with you is based on the petition that he shared with us. So he said every morning they inject him with drugs. So with the drugs, he's able to have sex with an average of, I think he said about 15 or 20 women a day. So he was able, so he was trapped. And when he got there, he told the person, he was like, no, this was not the job they promised me. This was not what they said I was coming to do in Bahrain. And the person was like, oh, well, that is your problem. But I know I paid for you. I paid X amount of money for you. So if I must let you go, you have to pay me back the amount of money so it was basically slavery. So he was doing this for about 6 months until one of his clients, it was one of his clients that actually helped him escape. So he came back to Nigeria, reported to NAPTIP, and all this happened last year, reported to NAPTIP. And because of his cooperation, we were able to arrest the syndicate group in Anambra.
Oh, wow.
So he led us to, there's a group in Anambra, and there's a group in, I think, either Lagos or Port Harcourt. But that is an exception. So in terms of sexual exploitation, you have more of women and young girls. In terms of labor exploitation, you have more young boys and men. In terms of child labor, domestic servitude, it goes without going. Child labor, they target children. Domestic servitude, so this is mostly the form of trafficking that happens behind closed doors. So it happens behind the, in the room where you hire somebody for work. and the person, you basically treat the person like a chattel, you treat the person like a slave. So that one affects mostly children and young girls. Last year we received and rescued a total of 2,743 victims. Out of this total, we had female adults were 1,459. Female minors were 688. Male adults, 363. And male minors, 233. So from this data, you can tell that it is mostly female adults and female minors that are mostly affected. But again, it depends on the form of exploitation.
And then one can assume that this person saying I've paid for you, that means that he actually doesn't get paid for actually doing the work itself. So,
yes, no.
Oh.
No, so the person that has paid for you, so it's like, so it's exploitation, slavery, debt bondage, all in one. And that is what happens. So someone facilitates your travel, someone facilitates your issuance of passport, someone facilitates your whatever travel document you need. Whether it's a bus ticket or a plane ticket, someone somewhere, the end user, the end exploiter pays for all this. And so what do you think is going to happen? So you have to walk off whatever it is that person spent before you even start making money. And it takes years and years. When somebody is trafficked to Mali and you go and say, oh, this was not what they told me I was coming to do. And the trafficker tells you, oh, well, I paid 3 million naira for you to get to Mali. So you have to walk off 3 million naira. So you can imagine how many men that girl with a day to get that 3 million naira. And I tell young people, I said, when you see yourself being passed from one handler to another, it only means one thing. It means that you are being sold.
Yeah. Wow. I don't have the words for it, because as a human, I'd like to think that desperation can make someone do anything. I might not necessarily have been in that position, but I have met people, you know, in the course of my work that have been forced to do certain things. And I want to come back to something you said earlier in the introduction. You said that parents sell their kids, brothers sell their sisters, and uncles sell their relatives. I want to ask whether you can share with us what could motivate a family to knowingly, you know, put their family member in such a dangerous situation, because you don't actually know what's going to happen when you get there. So anything can happen. So could you share with us what could motivate families to do this to each other?
One thing that is common with our experience working in this field, and when we interact with family members or interact with victims, they all say one thing: oh, I wanted a better life, or life was very difficult for us, so, you know, I did it because I wanted to help my family. So that is one, poverty. Then another thing is ignorance. People really don't understand these things. People don't understand the red flags. They don't recognize the red flags. And because most of these crimes are perpetrated by people you know, so you have that trust element. You say, this is my auntie, or this is my neighbor. I don't think my family member will want to hurt me, or I don't think my neighbor is going to hurt me. But most times, crimes like this are perpetrated by people you know. So it's usually, I want a better life for my family. I want a better life for myself. But I always say, like you say, you are not in somebody else's shoes.
Yeah.
But I don't think poverty is an excuse. Like I tell, there was a program that we had last year. that I was able to interact with rural women.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, when somebody comes to you to say, oh, give me your child, I want to take your child to the city and I want to give your child a better life, and you think that child has an opportunity to have a better life than what you can offer that child, you let your child go.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just let the child go like that. Keep in touch. Go and see that child. If you cannot afford to go and see that child, call on the phone. And when you call, insist on speaking to that child. Because our most victims, you know, when we talk to victims that we rescue or that are referred to us at our shelter, it is heartbreaking when you hear these children say, oh, my father or my mother just gave me away and I never heard from them. They didn't even bother to call, or they didn't even bother to check on me. So ignorance shares a, you know, it shares, it's a big factor in people getting trafficked. Ignorance, I will say.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I really like that you were able to elaborate, that, I mean, it's not just as simple as saying poverty. And now that we've gotten to this point, I wonder if you can actually share with us a general advice. How can we ensure that we, our family, our friends, regardless of the situation, regardless of our socioeconomic realities, do not fall victim to trafficking? Actually, sorry, before I ask you that question, I think it would be remiss of me if I didn't ask you, you know, the number of ways that people are likely to be trafficked, you know, whether you see more incidents relating to maritime route, you know, to the sea or to the land. I think so whether you actually have records of people that have been trafficked through the sea route and comparing to the land route.
If you look at our statistics, like, let me share a statistics from last year. So we received a total of 1,440 cases of human trafficking last year, and 1,028 of those cases had to do with internal trafficking cases. So internal trafficking cases are where people are trafficked from one community to another or across state lines.
Okay.
Then we had 412 external trafficking cases. So these are cases of people trafficked outside Nigeria. But these are just cases reported to us, because now we don't man the borders.
Yeah.
The borders are manned by immigration. So based on our statistics, we have more of internal trafficking cases going on in Nigeria. So people are trafficked via road a lot. Uh-huh. Then in terms of the waterways, we've seen cases of people trafficked by sea into Burkina Faso.
Ah.
So that is the only route we have identified. And I know that in Lagos, you can actually take the boat to Benin Republic, to Togo, and to Mali. And we know that trafficking also happens through that route. So yes, but you have more of trafficking going on by road.
Okay.
In the past, it used to be people, traffickers focused on using the semi-border.
Yeah.
That was in the... But now, they've expanded operations to the northern part of, or to the northern part of Nigeria. So we've seen incremental activities of smuggling going on in Katsina, in Jigawa, because these are all border states, through Kongolo, border, Mekateri, Jibia border, and all that. So trafficking, you know, happens a lot by road. Even those that, and of course we know that trafficking happens by air, but that is minimal, because you have to get a visa, you have to go for visa interview. So most of the people that get visas by air go to the destination country and become irregular migrant, but there's a lot and lot of trafficking going on by road and by the waterways in Nigeria.
Well, thank you so much for explaining that. And I learned something last week about trafficking, but in terms of stowaways, the data that I had sort of made me believe or think that it's only men that can be stowaways, you know, hide in vessels to go to different countries. But the event we went for last week, I learned that women as of 2018 are now stowaways, and interestingly, some of these women are from Nigeria. And this is from Nigeria to Togo. I never thought that, of course, being such a small space is something that a woman would even consider, but it tells you the extent of the desperation for someone to want to risk, you know, such a thing. But wow, I mean, thank you so much for not only enlightening us with, you know, everything, and the way you've talked about it is so personal, you've humanized it, and I really appreciate it. And then before we conclude, I'd like to ask you what advice you have for us, the listeners, our families, our friends, those that might, you know, be interested in learning more about this. What can we do to ensure that our family and friends do not fall victim of trafficking?
All right, well, I can say, like I said earlier on, if it's too good to be true, then it probably is. There is no free lunch anyway. People that you see and admire who are successful today worked really, really hard to get to where they are. So if it is free, then you are definitely the product. You need to ask questions. When people bring an offer, whether it's scholarship, whether it's a job offer, they say they can give you a better life or whatever, ask questions. Do your research. We have a regulation called Regulation 2019. And Regulation 2019 gives NAPTIP the powers to issue clearance certificates to tour operators, to travel agents who want to take people out for the purposes of probably maybe educational excursion or travel excursion or cultural activities or recruitment of labor. So if somebody tells you, oh, I want to get a job for you, maybe in a Gulf country, ask them, have you gone to get a clearance certificate from NAPTIP? So educate yourselves. You go to our website. We have a lot of resources on our website. We have a very vibrant social media handle on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter, where we constantly churn out information about what human trafficking constitutes, what are those red flags to look out for, what are the right questions to ask. If somebody tells you they want to take you to Italy, and you see yourself going past Gibia border or Seme border, you ask yourself, is that the route to Italy? That in itself is a red flag. Or when somebody comes to you and says, oh, I have an offer for you, but don't tell anyone. Mm-hmm. You ask yourself, if it is good news, if it's a good thing, why shouldn't I share the good news? Yeah. Because this is what traffickers do. They will tell you, oh, don't tell anybody. Yeah. So you should know, or when they tell you, oh, you need to go to a shrine and swear to an oath. Why should you go to a shrine to swear to an oath?
Yeah.
Oh, and what traffickers are doing now is they tell you to now record yourself nude and share with them to show that you'll be loyal to them. That in itself is
a problem. Yeah.
Or when somebody wants to, when somebody wants to procure a passport for you, the next thing, they now use a different name. Your birth certificate is changed. That is a red flag. We have a case now of somebody who is trapped. She can't even get travel documents. Mm-hmm. Why can't she get travel documents? Or no, she can't get resident document in that country of destination where she was trafficked and used because they added 20 years to her age.
Ooh.
They added 20 years to her age. So your real age and your real papers does not tally with the documents you use to enter that country.
Yeah.
So it's a problem for her. The country of destination really wants to help her, but because of the discrepancies. We have cases of victims that we rescue whose entire personality were changed just because they wanted to procure a passport. So that in itself is a red flag. Then if unfortunately you get to your either transit or destination country and your travel papers, your phone and your passport is taken away from you, then, like they say, Beijing, Kasala, Yawa don't gas, or Kasala don't
gas.
Exactly. You now have to start looking for the safest route, because that in itself is slavery. So yeah. Someone carries your travel document. That means you cannot even escape. They carry your food. You cannot even communicate with family. So that in itself is a red flag. And I also tell people, if you must travel, share your information with your family or friends. If they don't hear from you, they know that something is wrong. Then they can get in touch with family, with law enforcement on your behalf. We've had cases and cases of that. People will write to us. They will call our call center to say, Lagbaja traveled. We've not heard from Lagbaja. We think Lagbaja is in trouble. Also, turn on your locations on your phone. So, with the locations on your phone, law enforcement in that country can easily track you. And in addition, you can easily send us your geolocation, your position, real time. And with that information, we can share with the transit or destination country that will facilitate with your rescue. So I think these are basic things that people need to know. And please, please, please ask questions. Do your research. Google is your friend.
Yeah.
Google is your friend. Don't be desperate. Don't be too dead. It's not easy anyway.
Yeah.
You go to the US, you go to the UK, you go to Europe. It's not easy anywhere. Yeah. So anybody that thinks that they will jack up from Nigeria and it will be all rosy is just being is deluded. It's not easy anyway. So for your viewers, I would say NAPTIP has a 24 hours call center.
Mm-hmm.
Our toll free line is 0703-00-00203. We also have a short code which is 627, but that is available on the MTN network. We have our email address, which is info@naptip.gov.ng. We are very responsive. We take every lead seriously. We take all petitions or complaints that come to us very seriously. And we also attend to whistleblowers. So if you want to share information with us, be certain that we'll protect you. We'll protect you. We have a very strong witness protection policy and whistleblowers policy. So I think that's all I will share. And also educate yourself, educate others. Whatever you learn, you also share with your families, you share with friends, and you share with your neighbors. The more informed you are, the better your position to protect yourself and protect others.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for not only being with us, but for the advice. For those that might be trying to call the number from outside Nigeria, do remember to add +234. But thank you so much. I really appreciate that you've taken time out of your massively busy schedule to speak with us.
Thank you for having me. Yeah. It was an enjoyable conversation. I like talking about these things because you never know whose, you know, attention you can catch and how many lives you can save by doing that.
Absolutely. And to our listeners, thank you for listening and for joining us like always. Take care.